good mark.
And we are underway.
From Rainbow Bay to Rainbow Beach to the Switch and everything in between.
I'm going to have fun and you're going to have fun.
Have a funny day.
Go. Have fun now.
Your new local. You're going to love this place. It's The Rush Hour with Liesl Jones, Liam and Dobbo.
The podcast for another Fri-yay edition. And yesterday on the show, for those that missed it, I have been one out with my kids. My wife Alana's been down in Melbourne, had a couple of nights away for work, and I have been parenting solo. Yesterday, I explained that I have nothing but admiration and respect now for single parents. I don't know how they do it.
Do you want us to feel sorry for you, or
no? Well, no, because okay. I tried that yesterday and it didn't work. But today,
don't get sympathy.
You tipped into me yesterday about my daughter was late. She was late for school. Stuffed up the lunch boxes. I had to do the yogurt run for my son. I had a mare today. Geez, you would have been proud of me.
Talk to me about it.
Yes, you would have been proud
of
me.
Was she late for school?
No, she was early.
She was early.
She was probably one of the first five in her class there. She was so early she didn't know what to do with herself. She walked into the schoolyard and said, "I'm early."
Oh, enough time to socialise.
She had a heap of time. So she was not only on time, she was early. Lunchbox. Oh, the lunchbox. The lunchbox making was simply incredible. Matt came back with feedback from me for his lunchbox yesterday. He said, "Dad, muesli bar, no wrapper." Because yesterday I left it in the wrapper for him. But today he said that obviously he had to get someone to open it for him yesterday. So he preferred it unwrapped.
Okay.
So we had that feedback.
Do we need feedback on kids' lunchboxes? I think that's a bit much.
No, but I absolutely brained it. I got up half an hour early as you suggested, Dobbo, and that extra little bit of time.
It does the wonders, mate.
It was helpful.
Well, what you do is you get it all done when you're not having to look after them.
Mm,
yeah.
Can I?
It's like that Michael McIntyre show. Where is your shoes? Where's your shoes?
No shoes. But if I am being fully transparent with both you and the Rush Hour
your
family.
Your mother-in-law was there the whole time.
No.
Alana came home early.
Alana had pre-ordered Quinn lunch today from the tuck
shop. No.
So I only had one lunchbox to pack.
Mate,
too good to be true.
Mate, you are an embarrassment to all dads.
He should have told us that.
No. It was amazing.
He should have owned it.
Look, transparency, full transparency. I expect the same out of you guys.
Not happening.
Okay.
Nah.
Hey, enjoy the show. Sunday morning. Most of us will be fast asleep, but some of us, almost, some of us dedicated to the sport of rugby league will be up.
I'll be up.
Because it's the Rugby League World Cup final, Australia taking on Samoa in what will be an epic clash. Now, we need to get an insight into what it takes to win one of these. A man who did win one as a kangaroo back in 2000, and then he tried his hand at rugby union and went all right at that as well.
He went all right at that as well.
Mr. Matt Rogers. G'day, Matt.
Hey, guys. How are you?
All right. It's been quite unbelievable, Matty. Like, I mean, this is the first time in Rugby League World Cup history that we won't have either France, England, New Zealand playing against Australia. For the game as a whole, it's a wonderful storyline that Samoa face off against Australia in a World Cup final.
Man, I absolutely love it, Dobbo. I love how we've allowed these players to go back to their cultural nations and play. You know, our game is such a multicultural game. And, you know, to see these guys, you know, representing their heritage, I just think it's brilliant. And it adds so much more competition to the game.
It's safe to say that Samoa is not the team that the Kangaroos expected to face in the grand final. So how do you think they're going to approach it?
Well, they could all approach it, with a lot of focus. I mean, this Samoan side, what is there, seven premiership winners in that side?
Unbelievable.
I mean, you've got some of the best players in the world they're coming up against, not just the best players in Samoa. They're world-class players. You look at their forward pack, it's frightening.
Yeah.
They get it right in the middle, and you get Anthony Milford and Luai coming off the back of that. I mean, they're deadly. Yeah, I think Anthony Milford is the key. If he plays well for Samoa, I think Samoa have a fantastic game. I think Anthony Milford's strength, though, is a runner. And he played his best football outside Ben Hunt when Ben Hunt was playing his best football, organising the play. And I think organising is probably his weakness. So, but, you know, who knows? Off the back of a front row like they've got, if they start to make some inroads, it could be pretty scary for Australia.
The one good thing about this game, this is is that Nathan Cleary might work out what an absolute lowlife Jerome Luai is to play against. No, I'm being serious. Like, he might mate, just actually annoy his own teammate to the point.
I love Jerome Luai, and I love the fact that he creates this tension among fans. Like, do you want everybody to be vanilla, Dobbo? Like, do you want everybody just to be boring?
Just a little humble. Just a little humble, Matty.
Mate, hey, listen, mate, I played with Greg Bird. If you're not a Queenslander, if you're not a pick up ball, then you hate the bloke, but I love him to death.
Yeah.
Mate, it's impressive
that
Bird.
That's what makes our game.
It's impressive that Birdie's been able to make a home for himself on the Gold Coast.
Well,
he can't talk.
No one can hear him anymore.
Well, he can't talk and he can't play golf. So he's like my regular ATM. He has to play on the Gold Coast. That was beautiful.
Who wins, mate? Who wins it?
Mate, I think Australia win. I think if Australia get ahead, I think they go on with it.
Yeah.
But they've got to start well, and that all comes down to the middle. I think the front rows of Samoa need to be stopped, and that's going to be a big task. If they can hold them in the middle, I think Australia go on with it, and we win pretty handsomely. But look, it's a game of footy that there's two teams, and anyone can win it. The old cliche. But, mate, my brother texted me the other day, Samoa are paying $7, $2 or $3, it's worth a bet. I'm like, mate, I can't bet on footy, mate, I'm an agent, but yeah, good stuff.
Well, it is a pleasure to speak to a man who knows what it takes to win a Rugby League World Cup and a Glades Club Championship as well, by the way, Dobbo.
That's right,
two time, yeah, get it right.
What's your second shot on the second, Matty? What do you use over the water?
Oh, well, mate, if I get it down the bottom there, I'm hitting it like a 9-iron in, mate.
Yeah.
I think he hits it a bit further than you.
See, I'm hitting a 3.
There's plenty of birdies balls in that water, too.
Yeah, I know. Don't worry. I've got a lot there as well, mate. Don't worry.
Hey, Matty, a pleasure to have you on the Rush Hour as always. Enjoy the weekend, and here's to cheering on an Aussie win in the early hours of Sunday morning.
Good chatting.
The support of the Samoan community. We saw The Rock today come out and...
Gave a big one of those.
Gave one of them. Unbelievable. Yeah. But look, in my neck of the woods, they are, like last week on the Ipswich motorway, there literally could have been 150 cars with Samoan flags. Okay. Only two nights ago, they had a formal in the middle of Ipswich and every single car had a Samoan flag on its roof. And there is a huge, huge event being organised for this 2 a.m. Rugby League World Cup final.
Yep.
The Samoan super fans.
Yeah, it kicks off Saturday afternoon, in fact. There's a march happening from Goodness State School to Evan Margeson Park. I think that's happening about 1:30. Let's bring in the man behind this. I imagine who will be anointed King of Samoa if this thing goes well. Christian Brown, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me, lads.
This is going to be epic. I mean, Christian, you guys are a proud, proud community. Just can you give us some sort of perspective on what the feeling has been like this week to see the Samoan Rugby League team into a Rugby League World Cup final?
Yeah, like you said, we're a proud, proud community. We're proud people, Samoan people. So, look, you know, most of us have grown up here in Australia. So, you know, we're blessed to have the freedom to be able to, you know, display that. Like you said, there's flags everywhere. We've been having these marches and parades. So it's just, you know, we're just so blessed to be able to display that and show people how proud we are of what the boys have achieved.
There's no doubt the Kangaroos side are very strong. But do you feel like this wave of support for Samoa might get them over the line, that they'll feel it and they'll just be able to carry them off to a win?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, Australia, you know, the Kangaroos are the pinnacle of rugby league around the world, and they've been dominant since day one. But I feel like, you know, our boys, and I know for sure for a fact that our boys have been seeing all the videos, a lot of them comment on it, repost it. I've spoken to some of the players. Yeah, I've spoken to Stephen Crichton, you know, a couple of days ago and a few hours after the game. And the boys are watching and they're seeing it and they're loving it.
Now, let's stick away from football. One thing that Josh Papali'i and Anthony Milford have told me is that Samoan barbecue and feast is next. And one thing that will be going on is there'll be more tucker than you've ever spoken and heard of. What is the go-to tomorrow for the food? Like, there's obviously a big, big feed taking place as well.
Yeah, there is. It's a bit funny because it'll be 1,000 snags that we're trying to cook and hand out to everyone, which is an Aussie thing. So, hey, look, man, like I said, we're blessed to live here in Australia, and a lot of us are proud Aussies as well, as proud Samoans. So we're feeding the community. We had 1,000 sausages donated, so to do a free sausage sizzle for everyone. But we'll have some food stores, a lot of lot of Polynesian cuisine as well, chop suey, of taro.
If it kicks off at 2 a.m., what time do you actually kick off? What time does the party start?
So we're doing a march, so we've worked together with the Queensland Police Service. You know, I know you guys mentioned we got in trouble.
last week was epic.
We held up some traffic, but you know, this we've gone through the right channels. I didn't know it would get this big. And you know, we're working together with local police to block off the roads and just let everyone know, you know, like we're gonna march. And it's a significant thing. So, and you know, this whole thing was started by my cousin Jason. So, you know, if he's listening, shout out to him.
If anybody's looking to get involved and celebrate the fantastic achievement of not just Samoa making it to the final, but this is going to be a red hot game. Goodna State School, 1:30. That's when the march kicks off. And as Christian explained, there's going to be Tucker. It's going to be a great afternoon. Now, Christian, I don't mean to impose, but I mean, The Rock gave us this morning. Can you send us off into this weekend of this fantastic contest between the Kangaroos and Samoa with one of the Chihus?
Just for going into that, look, like you just touched on it there. This is open for everybody. Would love to see some Aussie flags down there, you know, with our Aussie brothers and sisters coming down and celebrating, and then all nations. You know, it's been such a inspiring and successful World Cup. But yeah, before I go.
Yeah,
I love that.
Christian Brown organising this incredible event that's going on Saturday. Hey, enjoy the weekend. And I've got to be honest, there's a little part of me that's going for Samoa on Sunday
morning.
Me too.
There's a little part of me. No. I'm going Samoa.
No way.
Yes.
I love them, but that's not happening.
All the best, Christian. Enjoy it.
Thank you. Win or lose, we're still going to celebrate Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
I probably shouldn't have said that.
Summer.
Are we up and about?
Triple M Cricket.
Right now, let's get serious here.
Brings you every single ball.
Listen to this.
And you want to be listening from the very first delivery.
Oh!
Listener app.
Have a bit of that.
It starts November 17.
Well, this is going to be good.
Triple M rocks cricket.
It kicked off yesterday. The Triple M commentary team calling Australia's one dayer against England, which Australia won quite handsomely in the end. And to celebrate the summer of cricket upon us, we have set about naming the greatest ever Queensland 11. And it's
kind of didn't realise how big it turned out to be.
It was such a throwaway little thought we had. And it has turned into probably one of the biggest things we've done all year, so much so that Stuart Law, who got inducted earlier on this week, called it one of the great honours of his cricketing career.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
This is a bloke who's been named.
It's hard to make the team.
It's been very hard to make the team. You're right. And today we appoint the final person. For those that haven't seen it, the team thus far, Jimmy Marr and Matty Hayden opening. Martin Love comes in at first drop. Alan Border in at four. Stuart Law in at five. Number six about to be announced. Ian Healy with the gloves. Mitchell Johnson, eight. Michael Kasperich at nine. Jeff Thompson at 10. And Carl Rackerman at number 11.
Yeah, and this is probably the hardest one that we had to talk about.
Mm.
And, I don't know how you couldn't have this guy in the team. And he epitomises. He only played 26 test matches for his country, but he is born and bred Queensland, and he is part of the history and the fabric. And I talk about none other than the late, great Andrew Roy Symons, the great Roy.
He has it. Andrew Symons has it. And what a way to get it. A maiden test match 100 for a dream entertainer.
Roy would have been so honoured to be a part of this team, and having hung out with him it was December that we filmed the show, the Decathlon, together. And I remember him sitting down, he was sitting in the grass and he was telling us all these stories, and Shani Norda was just peppering him with questions. He wouldn't share anything, but we sort of got a few stories out of him, but he was just truly one of the most extraordinary, I think, people, really, because he had a massive heart and he loved cricket and he was so passionate and he was so loyal to his mates. I think he is the perfect team member. And I would go as far as to say that this team needs to be named after Roy. I think it needs to be The Andrew Simons shield or something.
The Roy Simons 11. I think that's a fitting tribute, Lisa, given what the sport of cricket has gone through this year with the passing of Roy and Shane Warne.
And not just because he passed, but he would be. He is so extraordinary.
He would have been there even if he hadn't passed.
Yeah, for sure.
You mentioned that. And now Jimmy Marr and his good mate, Matty Hayden, who was down the other end when he brought up that first Test century, both of them, when we spoke to them and inducted them into this side, spoke at length about Andrew Simons as a cricketer. And here's Jimmy Marr first. You'll hear Matty Hayden at the back.
You know, there's so many times I threw the ball to him, there was nothing happening, and, you know, he just bowled the worst, dirtiest long hop, and someone had, you know, skull dragged the cover or mid-wicket. And, you know, poor old Vic or Casper had been bowling their bum out for about 2 hours. And then Roy had just dragged Michael Bevan out, getting caught in the most stupid position. And then he'd say, he'd walk in the dressing room and say, "Now, what are you frigging bowlers been doing for the last 2 hours?" He was just special. And same thing, like, there'd be nothing happening, so we'd start a bit of banter in the field, and then he'd just pull a run out from nowhere. He'd be half asleep, and he'd pick the ball up and throw it down. And, you know, he was just amazing.
But he was a great, tough competitor, Simo, and he got the most out of his ability. I don't think there's been a better athlete in Queensland cricket. Like, he came as a fresh-faced skeg from Gold Coast who had country heritage, so he wasn't sure whether he's on the tractor or the horse 1 minute or on the boogie board the next. But he just had this wonderful colour about him that made him glue in the change room. And it wouldn't matter if you were Alan Border, you know, down to the youngest player. If you're carrying on like a dickhead, he'd just let you know. Simple as that.
Matty Hayden there, a great friend of Andrew Simons, talking about his late great mate who officially completes our greatest Queensland 11 ever. What a team it is, and Andrew Simons fittingly. He can bowl some spin for us. That's the other thing from pure cricketing sense. Could bowl a bit of off spin as well as his medium paces. So he had some versatility.
But such a good all-rounder, yeah. Wasn't he? He awesome. Was just so versatile. Yeah.
Did we get it right? Did we get it wrong? Rob from Robina, your thoughts.
Guys, I think you've picked a great side, and it's a great all-round side, but no disrespect to Mr. Love, but Greg Chappell was a brilliant batsman, a really handy bowler, former captain of Australia.
Yeah, and he was discussed. There's no two ways about it.
There was debate about his Queenslandership, though,
well,
wasn't
there? Well, I think we overlooked that in the end because of Tomo and AB and everybody that. But, Rob, you couldn't keep Martin Love out of that side by sheer statistics of what he did for
Weight
Queensland.
Of runs. Hey, yeah. Rob, I appreciate the polite way in which you've provided that feedback.
Yes.
I'm going to throw you a $100 voucher to CNL Tools.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
CNL Tools Banyo, where you want to buy tools, not talked one. CLToolsCentre.com.au. What a very respectful way to
that
disagree with us.
Yeah. Dave from Clear Island Waters. How are you, mate?
Good, pal. How's yourself?
All right. You don't like heels?
No, well, not that I don't like heels. I just think if you're talking about servants for Queensland, a guy called Peter Anderson did a much better job and probably really was a better keeper.
Well, hang on. Peter Anderson played a lot more games for Queensland, no two ways about it. But the only reason Ian Healy didn't play for Queensland because he was playing for his country.
And if you remember, Dobbo, being the doy end of all things Queensland sport related.
Here we go.
How did Heels get his nod ahead of Ando? Because Ando broke
his
thumb.
He was injured, yes.
That's right. And the story suggests is that Ando was next in line for that caller.
Listen, Tom Brady, Drew Bledsoe, that's the kind of same situation.
Hey,
I mean,
Dave, for coming on and trying to stick it to Dobbo, I've got a CNL Tools voucher for you as well.
Appreciate that.
No, we appreciate anybody who wants to have a go at Dobbo.
$100 no,
CNL Tools voucher for you as well. Troy in Springwood. Troy, we'll let you have the last say. Troy, what do we need to change about the side?
Look, don't get me wrong. Love Stewie Law. I think he's a great cricketer. But I think we need another quick in there who just typifies everything Queensland. You got to have Andy Bickle in there.
There was big debate about Andy Bickle, and we thought, how can we not have that him on the side, though?
But Troy, I think he's 12th man again,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, he is, Troy, that. And Jones, you can't have five.
We can't
have five quicks.
Troy.
It's never been done unless you're a West Indian side in the early 80s.
Hey, but with that quick line-up and Roy's boys.
Yes.
You know,
yeah. The only thing I'd say about it is, how could you keep the first ever captain of a Sheffield Shield? You can't keep
and
him out.
Troy, I don't know if you heard, but he promised to grow back the goatee just for this side.
Oh, mate, I know. It's hard to knock Stewie out, but... Yeah.
You're just a big Bickle fan.
The movement he got.
Poor old Andy Bickle.
I love Stewie Law.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Troy, mate.
Andy Bickle, that movement.
Yeah.
Troy, for representing Andy Bickle so well, I've got a $100 C&L Tools voucher for you as well.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Yeah, he's not getting in the side, though, Troy.
No, he's
see how hard it is? Yeah. We've had these debates and very heated discussions.
Yes, we have, off air.
All right.
The side is final.
The side is finalised.
Locked in.
Yeah, there are no more changes,
no more bets.
The Andrew Symonds Queensland Testimonial 11. It has been a pleasure putting it together. Next week, I mean, we've been building up to next week's Fortinet PGA Championship for a long time, Dobbo. You and I in particular. Lisa's obviously going to be at the PGA Masterclass with a host of our family, learning to improve their game of golf. You and I, though, on Wednesday, suiting up in the Pro-Am.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. Out at RQ. I can't wait to play in the Pro-Am. One bloke who is excited is Cam Smith. You see, he arrived yesterday. Mm-hmm. People were getting snaps. And he brought his British Open trophy with him. Another bloke who won the British Open is... Ian Baker Finch,
yeah.
My favourite golf commentator. I'm just going to biasly say that now. And he joins us this afternoon.
That is shameless by you, Dobbo. Welcome, Mr. Ian Baker Finch.
Thank you very much for that shameless plug. Really, very much appreciated.
Ian, in all seriousness, I remember you so well as a golfer, and I remember you winning the Open Championship like
91.
But I probably take you more now as one of the leading golf commentators rather than a golf professional that won majors. And I suppose in some ways the next generation would only know you as a golf commentator.
Yeah, for sure. The Cam Smith fans, the youngsters that all love Cam and watched him win in a pink shirt at the Open this year, they just know me as the Australian voice on CBS on TV. But it'll be good to be out at RQ, to be honest with you. I can't wait to see Cam and Leash and all the boys that are coming back to play in our summer of golf. Really will be fantastic. The course is looking great.
Now, Ian, we heard yesterday that Cam Smith has flown back in. Dad Dez has been giving the claret jug he's been keeping it in nice, presentable condition. Where is yours? Where's your trophy?
I made a copy of it, obviously. It's a long story. I won't get into it too much, but
okay.
I had one made when I first won, but we're only allowed 90% size in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And that's here in my home in Australia, or actually at my brother's place. And the other one that I had made, one Tiger one, St. Andrews in 2000, they allowed us to make one the full size. So I had another one done, and that's in my office in the States.
Awesome.
And it's in pride of place. It's such a beautiful trophy.
Ian, it's been so amazing. We've had some incredible performances by Australian golfers, but Cam Smith, he just stands out. He's a great guy winning the British Open. He is good for Australian golf.
Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it? The kids love it. Neil, you know, he might have recreated the mullet era with that haircut of his. But to win the 150th Open at St. Andrews, it's the number one major of all time. So that's Adam's win at the Masters in 2013 was fantastic. We got the monkey off our back. We finally got a Masters winner from Australia. But this one, the 150th at St. Andrews, is something extra special.
Ian, pardon my ignorance, but does your 91 Open Championship win, is that a perpetual thing where you can tee up forever if you wanted to?
No, till you're 60.
Till you're 60. How old are you at the moment, Ian?
62.
Oh, what a shame. Anyway.
You know, I could have done it this year because of the COVID, and I played with Mark Calcavecchia in that past champions four-hole thing. I played so much better than him. I thought, oh, man, maybe I should go play, but it's too late now, you know. But no, I'm good with it. I'm an announcer now, commentator, an analyst, whatever you want to call it. I still love to play golf. Not many people love the game more than me. Maybe Pete Senior or Roger Davis or a couple of guys like that love it as well. But it's a great game, and I'm happy in my position.
Now, Ian, obviously next week it gets underway, the Fortinet PGA Championship at Royal Queensland. Cam Smith should and deservedly be favourite for this tournament. But I want you to break down the approach to RQ for the amateurs like Dobbo and I on Wednesday's Pro-Am. How do we survive this golf course with doing as little damage to the place as possible? How do we avoid upsetting the course management?
Just have a good time. Enjoy yourself. Keep it short of the hole. Always try and be putting uphill. Don't go long. the first hole you can go long, but then be short on all the rest. It's a tricky course. The greens are hard and fast.
A huge part of next week on the commentary duties for the Fortinet PGA Championship. It gets underway next Thursday at Royal Queensland. Ian Baker Finch, an absolute privilege to have you on the Rush Hour today. Thanks for your time.
Enjoyed it. See you next week.
Everybody needs good neighbors. It's coming back.
Completely shocking news.
It's coming back. Neighbors.
The announcement was weird.
I didn't see the announcement. What was it?
I don't know the characters. It's the older lady and the older man, the Dr.
Susan
Carl.
And Kennedy?
Susan and Carl. Susan and Carl and someone else all announcing it all at the same time. No, it was weird.
Would have been Toadie.
I don't think it was.
Anyway, Neighbours is coming back. It was decommissioned.
I can't believe.
Months ago.
Stop.
And it's coming back.
Stop. We had this grand farewell.
We went back in time.
We mourned Neighbours. We did, Liesl. We actually, I think, do we have someone on?
We wheeled out Jason Donovan and Kylie Minogue.
Exactly.
And now
it's coming back.
Reincarnated. I mean,
they've just opened the wound and poured salt right in.
Bring back country practice. Bring back blue heelers if we're going to start bringing that. Water rats.
It was cancelled because over in Britain, Channel 5 said they wouldn't be airing it anymore, and that prompted Channel 10 to go, well, we're out as well.
Yeah, of course.
But now Amazon Freevee and Amazon Prime have come in and said that they'll buy the rights to the program in the UK, US, and Canada.
So is that Jeff Bezos? Is he a fan?
Yes.
Maybe he's like,
he grew up watching Neighbours. He grew up with a photo of Charlene, a.k.a. Kylie Minogue, on his wall.
Well, do you know what the irony is?
What?
He's just been quoted recently as saying that he wants to give his $180 billion fortune. And maybe this is step one. He's trying to be philanthropic.
To charity. Neighbours is a charity.
Neighbours, he's bringing it back. He's like, I need to burn some cash. Why don't I bring that Australian TV show back to life? I want to play a little game with you in honour of this being brought back to our screens. Now, the woman who plays Susan Kennedy in the series, whose name eludes me at the moment, I apologise, but she said that she was very disappointed. She felt like they'd been robbed when it was initially cancelled because they still had, quote, so many stories to tell. I would argue that
the lemon was squeezed dry.
They have, and then some.
We've just got the pips left.
They were grating the rind of the lemon on Neighbours as far as storyline goes. So I've got three storylines, right? Two of them are Neighbours storylines. One of them is not.
Okay. Two truths and a lie.
I want you to tell me which one of these is not a Neighbours storyline. First up, Susan Kennedy slips on spilt milk in her kitchen, hits her head, wakes up with amnesia for having forgotten the last 30 years of her life, believing she is her 16-year-old self. That is story one. Storyline two. A tornado hits the sleepy town of Erinsborough, located in Victoria, not a known tornado area. Storyline three. Julie accuses her Chinese neighbours of eating her dog.
Oh!
Now,
please tell me that last one's not true.
What are you going to lock in?
Please.
I'm going to lock in B.
You think the tornado?
I don't think there's such a thing as a tornado.
I'm going to say C. That can't be true.
Liesl, Dobbo, they're all storylines from Neighbours.
No! How did that get past the board?
I would have cancelled
that show immediately.
I watched a clip of it today, and Lou, the pub owner, just with a wink, says that the dog went missing and it was playing in the neighbour's backyard, and then they started a barbecue. This is what went to
that
air.
That is outrageous.
Horrific.
And they're bringing
it back. It's 2022.
As I said, bring back water rats, country practice, and blue heelers. If we're going to start bringing trash back, bring it all back.
And let this dumpster fire burn out.
You can't see it, but the three of us all sporting band T-shirts today, Aussie band T-shirts.
Well, mine's not a band. Mine's a singer.
Sure.
I mean, Lee Koenigan.
He's a one-man band.
I had the choice. I bought this T-shirt at the Emerald Country Music Festival in 1999. And the choice was of Casey Chambers or Lee Koenigan, and I chose Lee.
So mine's a singer but part of a band, which is Darren Hayes, who is part of
Brizzy
Savage
Boy?
Garden.
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
Legend.
Yeah. He was a legend.
He was.
I am rolling with UMI. Tim Rogers and the boys got this one at the Enmore Theatre, the 2013 tour. It's been one of my favourites. It's my go-to T-shirt. It's so comfy. The more you wear these T-shirts, the more comfy they feel. The reason we've all got these T-shirts on is because, of course, it is Oz Music T-shirt Day, an annual day aimed at celebrating Aussie music and designed to raise urgently needed funds for music workers because the COVID pandemic, we know the impact that it had everywhere. But geez, it decimated
the music industry. They were the forgotten. They were the people who were forgotten about. Mm-hmm. Like they just didn't have an income.
That's it.
They didn't get any funding.
And it's not just the musos either. It's everybody involved in the music industry. It's the roadies. It's the techs. It's all that sort of stuff. So you really do want to get around and support it. And this man not only has supported the music industry, he's made a career out of it. It's a man who tore up the Triffid at the Oztober Garage Session the other month with Noiseworks and the Screaming Jets. The one and only Mr. James Rain. G'day, James.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
All right. What's your favourite Oz music T-shirt? And don't say your own.
No, I wouldn't say my own. I've got the only one that I've got that's old, like old is a Cold Chisel one. I've got a Cold Chisel one. It's probably from 1978 or something. But I'm gonna plug a new band called the Hollywood Waltz.
Right.
I got one of their T-shirts. I bought it their merch.
Do you remember the first T-shirt that Ozzy Krall ever put out?
I remember the first poster we had was a girl in a speed, like in a one piece speedo thing. I remember that. It got quite well known, but I don't know if we ever made a T-shirt of it. But I certainly remember that poster.
Coming through, playing music, you know, when you started selling merch, did you think, oh, we've made it? This is it. We've finally cracked it.
I suppose you do it if you're starting to sell merch that people want to buy your stuff other than, but then it was all about records. See, merch wasn't that big then because you sold actual records. So merch wasn't as big a sort of thing as it is now.
Well, no one buys records anymore, James. It's all about streaming.
I buy records. I've got a record. Yeah, bloody oath. Okay. Yeah, Amazon's the greatest place ever for a record.
Yeah. This is a really awkward moment, but I'll follow you. Sorry. I'm being called into another room. Sorry.
No worries, James.
Thank you, guys. Sorry about that. Thanks a lot. Thanks very much for having me.
No dramas at all, mate. We appreciate it. We'll catch up with you again shortly.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Sorry about that. Thank you.
All good. Bye. And I guess that ends our interview with James Rain.
What actually just happened? Yeah, what happened? He's in the doctor's surgery. We just got brushed for a doctor. Okay. I get it.
He's busy. It's all right. Let him do what he's got to do.
That is the definition of multitasking, isn't it?
A little bit. Don't, I've got some spare time. Let's do an interview.
Don't answer your phone when you're in a doctor's waiting room.
Pot calling kettle.
Maybe.
But seriously, Oz Music T-shirt Day. Support the cause. Support Australian music. If you can go out and see a band at the gigs, please do so. Buy their merch and celebrate the wonderful music that Aussie bands and artists are putting out into the world.
The Triple Header.
The Brisbane Lions AFLW teams looks like they've had a little bit of a reprieve. They've had such an amazing season this whole time, but it was looking like if they were in the grand final, so if they win tonight's preliminary final against Adelaide, they may not have even had their home ground advantage, even though they thoroughly deserve it. They may have had to play interstate because the Gabba and Carrara Stadium were already booked with one of them's a concert, I think, at Carrara Stadium, and the Gabba is Guns N' Roses to be set up, I'm sure. So they were facing the prospect of having to play at not even their home crowd, which they've thoroughly deserved. Well, Springfield has come through and saved the day. They had laid fresh turf only about a month ago, so it was looking like it wasn't going to be ready, but they've worked extremely hard. If they do get the opportunity and they do win their spot to have a home grand final, that's where it's going to be played. The Ipswich City Council has stepped up and just worked their absolute butt off to get it done and get the turf ready. So super exciting. If Brisbane Lions go super well, AFLW, I hope they smash it because it would be amazing. That would be such a great ground at Springfield.
Oh, it's awesome there. Yeah, it's absolutely right next to Brookwater, but they'll put some temporary seating in there as well around one side of it. It looks, I drove past there only 2 or 3 days ago. Well, I didn't drive, I was driven past there. It looks amazing. I just don't want to give anybody the wrong idea.
No. Do the right thing, Dobbo.
Yeah, let's talk some golf. And obviously, we'll talk with Ian Baker Finch a little later in the show. Cam Smith lobbed in yesterday morning, and everybody wanted it. Now, Liesl, if you're Cam Smith and he loves his golf and you're playing in some big tournaments, you would suspect the first thing that you would do would be get to the driving range,
yeah,
get acclimatised.
Yeah, just have a few hits, you know, blow out the cobwebs or something.
Long flights and everything like that. Nope. Straight to Red Hill, straight to Brisbane Broncos training today, where he got off the plane with a Broncos cap. He was straight to the Broncos today, all the Broncos
players. Did he bring the claret jug?
I don't know if he did that, but he wore his Broncos hat and he was given, you know, all this different stuff. Obviously, everybody wanted a photo with him. Kurt Cate, well, he's so small compared to a rugby league player.
In Smithy's defence, it's probably the first time he's had enough cachet to just waltz into the training facility.
Well, he can do what he wants, right?
He's landed back at home with the power and the swagger to do whatever he wants.
He can go wherever he wants. He can do whatever he wants.
I don't blame him for just, you know, not going to bed and living it up a little bit.
I can't imagine he did any tackling, though.
Yeah, he might have run the lines, Lisa.
The water boy.
And lastly, despite the very, very poor crowd in attendance last night, Australia did get its one-day international series against England off to an absolute flyer. They smashed them. They won by 6 wickets. They chased down England's 287 comfortably with more than 3 overs to spare. But this really scary part for the Poms and for the touring team, South Africa and West Indies this summer, is a moment in the game where Steve Smith, after smacking one to the boundary, he finished 80 not out, and he smacked one to the boundary, and the cameras caught him mouth the words to Dave Warner down the other end, "I'm back, baby."
Yeah.
Oh.
That was Steve Smith telling his longtime teammate, Davey Warner, "Oh, my hands are back." Yeah. And he reckons it's the best he's batted in almost 6 years.
Wow. Did they break that opener record? It was 229 for the opener.
Oh,
did they break that?
I don't know. Trav Head did a real nice job at the top of the order.
They were smashing it. They were up to 200, so they were so close.
But this idea that Steve Smith, who couldn't get into our T20 World Cup side, which I think they probably look back now as a bit of a mistake by the selectors, but that Steve Smith, who before the whole sandpaper gate was the best, most dominant batsman in the world, the thought that he might be returning to somewhere near his best, that is terrifying for opposition teams.
He's as good as they get when he gets rolling.
Makes it
Talking
very exciting.
About people who are smaller than they look, Dave Warner is very short, isn't he?
All right, hey.
He was standing in the group and I was like, oh, who is that? And it's Dave Warner. I expected him to be 6 foot.
Hey. You too. I'm allowed to make fun of people's height. You too aren't, all right? Okay.
Expected him to be 6 foot.
I'll defend my short asses to the dying day.
The Fortinet Australian PGA Championship, November 24 to 27 at Royal Queensland Golf Club. Tickets at Ticketek.
They're going to go nuts when he hits this thing.
The Triple M Rush Hour's Ball Bucket.
Yeah, this is it. The last spots in the PGA Masterclass.
We filled it.
We have, except for these last two spots. One more spot to give away to next week's PGA Masterclass experience as part of the Fortinet Australian PGA Championship, 24th to the 27th of November at Royal Queensland Golf Club. Your tickets are available at Ticketek right now. Cam Smith's going to be teeing off in this one. You want to be around it. And today we are going to give somebody the chance to get to this PGA Masterclass.
I'm so excited.
Experience.
I'm going to go to the driving range tomorrow. I can't wait. I'm so excited. Ash from Redcliffe, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Very well, thank you. You're a bit of a golfer?
Yeah, I do love the golf. I'm not good at it, but I love it.
That's okay. That's we don't mind. That's what the masterclass is for,
exactly,
so you can improve.
Right.
And Joe from Reedy Creek, good afternoon.
Hi, Liesl. How you going?
Good, thank you. You're a bit of a golfer?
I like golf, but I'm not very good at it either.
That's what a masterclass is for.
Yeah, you get to learn how to be better.
Okay. Now, Joe and Ash, the way this works is I'm going to fire up the Triple M Rush Hour ball machine, and you just have to keep count of how many balls fall out of the machine. It's a nearest to the pin wins. Do we both understand how to play? Are we ready to go?
Sure. Yeah, good to go. Thanks, mate.
All right, I'm going to fire up the ball machine. Start your counting. Get your fingers and toes ready. You might need more today. Who knows? Play along in the car. Here it comes. Oh, again, it's the late ones. All right, Ash, you got through first. What is your bid? How many balls came out of the ball machine?
I'm going to 19, thanks, mate.
19 from Ash. Joe.
I'm going to go 20.
She's gone with the... It's gone the Price is Right
up.
Tactic.
Well,
Lisa Jones.
Joe, you're actually bang on. It was 20.
Oh! She's hit it. That's a hole in one.
That is.
You've nailed it, Joe. A spot for you and a mate in next week's PGA Masterclass. Well done.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Not a worry, Joe. Can't wait to see there on the day. Ash, you do not go away empty-handed, though. We know you love your golf. We have got a GA family pass for you to get along to the Fortinet Australian PGA Champs.
That's unreal, mate. Thank you very much.
You can use that any day of the week. That's it. No more spots left in the PGA Masterclass. We are full, Liesl.
Well, that's all well and good, but what about your little pro-am you've got going on? You've got to select your teams.
Mm, we do.
Well,
what are you going to do that?
I need the weekend to think about it.
Me too. I've got a long list, and I want to make sure I have the right team ready to absolutely kick.
You've got a lot of worthy people, too.
I'm going to do some social media stalking. I'm going to see if I can find these people online. And
already you're going to go that. Full FBI.
Oh, you've already done
already
that.
Already done that.
Oh.
Went straight to FB and to Insta.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Note to anybody on Dobbo's list, make your profiles private. Time for us to get out of here as well. Liesl Jones, I know you'll be hitting up the driving range ahead of your masterclass next week.
Yes, I certainly will be. Yeah. I'll be chopping down trees on my way home. Good evening and good night.
Dobbo.
Farewell, my neighbours.
We'll see you Monday at 4 p.m.